Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Conversations About Meaningful Things. It's so good to have you today. My name is Alex, and I have with me today my friends Brian and Steve as well behind the microphones today.
How's it going, guys?
That was a different way to intro this.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit nicer.
Thought I'd change it up today, you know?
Thank you.
I like it. We're all still here around the table. So.
We are, yeah.
And glad that you're around the table with us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just to get it out of the way right up top, if you do have any thoughts, opinions, questions for us, you can always reach out to us, podcast@victorchurch.org. Just email.
Yes.
One of the things we were talking about before recording is that at least for Alex and I, when we listen back, but this is Brian talking, we sometimes confuse our own voices with each other. And so if that's
so
also
don't
for
know who you,
you
are.
That is actually a really good segue.
Whoa.
Yeah, let us know, first of all, if you can tell us all apart. Clearly, Steve's voice is made for radio. And
my name's Alex.
Perfect. But we really thought that, especially coming just off of this, the world that we're in, we wanted to tackle a bit of the topic of who am I? So this question that everyone asks, we've all worked with teens before, I currently do, as a question you ask in your teens, and mm-hmm. I think we continue to ask through the rest of our lives, yeah. is who am I? So we want to talk about that. We want to talk about how do you define yourself? What do you allow mm-hmm. to define you? Why does that matter? Should that matter? So yeah. all yeah. of those things.
And you mentioned, you know, we grapple with that in our teens. And while I think that's true, you also alluded to the fact that sometimes even longer than that. Mm-hmm. And we do see that in folks that are further down the road out of their teens where they get to, we tend to call it a midlife crisis. We're like, oh, wait
sure.
a second.
Oh, yeah.
I got to change everything up because right. I'm not the person that I thought I was mm-hmm. or the person that I wanted to be. And
yeah.
what are those, as you mentioned, Brian, what are the things that we look to help define who we are?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't always have the best view when it's just our view, right? But so there's got to be something other than just us, but we're taking the lead. And yeah. we live in a culture that has an awful lot of options
yes.
of things that people point to figure out who they are and yeah. try and define you based on this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah so what do you guys think is the first kind of go-to of how we would say, hey, aside from my name, like,
yeah,
how do you say, hey, this is who I am or what I am?
Yeah. I mean, I think this happens early on in life. It's usually the question of, like, what are you interested in? Steve, you say this yeah. a lot, have shared on Sundays and in conversations when you are making small talk with somebody. After you've asked them who their name is or you've introduced your name, usually what is the go-to conversation starter? It's, what do you do?
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. we tend to make assumptions about people based on, oh, this is what they do. This is who they are. And we know, and you listener listening in, you know, when somebody asks you that, if they make an assumption about who you are based on what you do, that's not an entirety of who you are as a person or your value. But that's, I think we tend to maybe gauge value or worth or identity around, well, this is what I do, this is what I'm passionate about, so this is who I am. But I wrestle with this, and Steve, you mentioned like the midlife crisis thing, or I think we live in an identity confused culture of where is my identity found in? What happens when that thing crumbles or fails or it's no longer fueling me? that big part of who I am is no longer there. Well, now what do I do? I think that's a big issue to grapple with.
And especially later in life when that happens, you know, maybe someone's at a point in a career where they decide like, oh, I think I'm going to change careers. Like, does that completely redefine who they are as a person?
Right.
You know, and what about folks like I wear a few hats. Mm-hmm. Like someone says, what do you do? I kind of have to figure out what arena are they talking about? Because in some I'm responding to emergencies, and others I'm just a dad and grandpa, and others I'm on staff at a church and do some things there. So, you know, kind of, well, what's how you answer, well, what do? Could be very different for a singular person. And so that can't really be what ultimately defines us.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of that comes also out of necessity, especially with the way inflation has been going. Like your job is a lot of the time it's born out of you need money to buy food.
Right.
Even stuff like hobbies, if you're working all the time and you're like, hey, I'm just going to put something on, like you just choose that just to be able to relax. Like that doesn't define you either. Yeah. So we shouldn't, I think we've made it clear. We shouldn't look to our jobs to really define us, but is there some truth in the things we do can point to part of who we are?
Yeah, I think they're reflective of the things we either really enjoy or really feel are necessities. Like you said, no, I've got to provide in some way, and this is my avenue of provision. But the other thing is, you know, what would you? And people have asked this question a lot. If time or money were no considerations, what would you do? Like, what would you just want to do that would? And that's maybe where we really kind of get at the heart of who we are as people, maybe, you know, what's really going on in the inside of me. If I'm not constrained by the things that typically constrain us in this fallen world that we live in, where I have to work, I have to earn money, I have to provide and all those other things. So I do think, Brian, you're leaning into something that's valid. And that is that some of the things we do, maybe not everything, but some of them certainly are reflective of what's true about us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So maybe just dialing this back just a little bit. Why do you guys think this is such a issue for so many people? Myself included, like I can remember times in my life where I've literally asked myself, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, or I don't know who I am. Especially in my teen years, I can remember being 18 years old, getting ready to graduate high school and literally having no idea how to answer the question. So what's next for you? I have no idea. And I remember feeling really terrible about that answer to that question and a little bit of fear. And it certainly, as a young man, it impacted my view of who I am, and just wrestling with that. I think all of us at some time in our life has to wrestle with that question of who I am, where do I get my value, my worth? Mm. And maybe you listening today are sitting here going, yeah, that's me today. I don't know where I truly find my value, my worth, when I'm alone with my thoughts. I'm wrestling with that. Why do you guys think that is a struggle for so many people?
I mean, you said it there at the end. It's about your value and your worth.
Right.
It's we want to feel like we are valuable, that we bring something to the table. And so as humans, we go, well, here's what I can do. Here's whatever that is. If you're providing for a family, if you're making the world a better place. So it's a lot of that where we go, okay, I want to feel like what I'm doing matters to give my life, my identity, any sort of value.
Mm-hmm.
Let's speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things you mentioned is, as you know, we've mentioned kind of the phrase like growing up or in our teen years and et cetera. And I don't think we should run past emphasizing the value of those environments that we're in as younger kids and children.
Sure.
And how is that nurtured in us? How, you know, and scripture talks about raising up a child in the way he should go, which really is talking about parents being able to tune into who is that young person that is in our family, and how do I help them develop themselves and nurture that understanding of how they were created and what some of the things that are in there for them. And I think we live in a culture, and we mentioned that we kind of have a mixed up culture. I think one of the areas of mix up is that in when we think about nurturing and developing of people, especially younger people, there seems to be a focus more on skill development rather than character development. And so, you know, it's what's the skill set? What, you know, what is it that you can do? What kind of marketable person are you? And I think we're missing a key part of that equation. Certainly having skill is important because I think we're all meant to have an impact and a difference somewhere, and but the character development, the nurturing of who you are as a person, is in a lot of ways missing in our culture. At least it's been de-emphasized over skill development, and I think that's partly contributing to the dilemma of people getting in there, you know, end of high school, or they're in their 20s or even beyond 30s or 40s. You're going, well, who am I really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I figured out how to program this computer, but who am I? And I think that's part of it. We're lacking that personal character nurturing and development. I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah. I would agree with that, Steve. And I think, you know, it, being focused or being encouraging as, you know, I'm looking through the lens right now as a parent,
as a dad, right?
As a dad, thinking about, okay, how do I help remove some of these obstacles for my kids? And I'm finding myself sometimes, you know, when I see my kids excelling, I want to encourage that. And I can see where that can almost, I can focus too much on the success, on the, oh, you know, I want you to do good at this. And so we're going to really hone in on this and, miss the whole point. I think, I don't think parents do that intentionally. Certainly I know my parents didn't do that intentionally. But I think sometimes if we focus too much on the, it's about the results, it's about what you can do and not, not speak to the inner person, the value of who you are, not just what you can do, or, you know, your values determined on whether or not you're successful or not. There's something deeper there. I wonder if that's, part of that, and something to maybe take a look at.
Yeah.
But
it sounds like we're speaking really to the concept of integrity. So being not necessarily doing always the correct thing, or like we all fail. Yeah. But yeah, be growing and becoming the kind of person that God wants us to be. And I think we should say this is that we know that God tells us that we all are loved. So if you're listening to this, God loves you and he sees value in you, and he created you for a purpose. Working with teens in a youth group, that's always the question. Yeah. And one point that I always like to bring up with the kids is that, yeah, you hear this all the time when you pray to God and you ask him, like, ask him, God, what am I supposed to do? Who am I? And he comes back with, you are mine and you are loved. Yeah. It's up to you now to believe him. Are you going to actually accept that? Because it's the truth. It is. And then where do we go from there?
Yeah. And we don't probably think about it systematically necessarily, but we do weigh different opinions as we're bouncing these ideas around our heads, right? We don't, and we do it, I think, probably a little bit subconsciously, where we, you know, our best friend's opinion matters more than the kid who sits three rows back in math class, right?
Just the negative opinion is all that matters.
Well, and that's the other thing, right? So what is it, what's the input that we're listening to, and where do we put that on the bigger picture? Like how much weight does, you know, Brian, you as a youth leader have in the life of a teenager versus, you know, some kid who is just walking down the street and you happen to pass?
Right. Yeah.
Like the relationship there is important. And so I think that's a question that's part of the answer to this question is what are the inputs that I'm listening to, and how do I weight those? Because if we get that weighting wrong or out of order, then the product of that is going to be all skewed and out of order, right? Yeah. If I'm only worried about, you know, what this person who really doesn't matter that much thinks, I value their opinion over everyone else's, then that's not the right place to put that weight. Mm-hmm. But if I have, you know, people in my life that know me and have invested in me, and I have to weigh that differently than the average person. I remember John Maxwell gave a definition of success. Mm-hmm. We talked about success for a second. And he said, my definition of success is if the people who know me best love and respect me the most.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, you know, that speaks to the weight of relationship and in our lives. And I think we don't want to miss that.
Yeah. That's so good, Steve. Cause I think if we're not careful, it's really easy to let things that, either people that really truly don't love us or care about us define who we are and determine our value, our worth, our identity, or, a skewed or misplaced view of ourselves, wherever that may be found. I remember a conversation I had way back in the day. I used to do youth mentoring, and one of the places I did that at was our local juvenile detention center, and I loved hanging out with those kids. And I remember a conversation I had with this one particular young man. He was 16, and he had kind of been in and out of juvenile detention for about 3 years. And his dad was in prison. There was just this cycle in their family. And he talked about how much he hated his dad. You know, his dad was terrible, was never around, didn't care about us kids. And I don't want to be like my dad at all. And he was sitting there. A lot of the choices that he had made were based on who he thought he was. And a lot of that was because of the damage that his dad had done. He had just had a kid of his own, and I'm looking at him and going, but here you are sitting in this place that you're starting to walk down the same road your dad walked down, the same road that you said that you don't ever want to walk down. And really had a great conversation about this. We can find ourselves in some pretty negative cycles if we let other people or circumstances determine our value, our worth, and our decision making because of that. We have to find a way to break out of those cycles, and there's got to be a place where we can place our identity and our worth in that is firm and solid. And I would like to submit, I think all of us sitting behind the microphones would agree and hope that you could find too, listener, is that our identity, our sense of worth and value has to come from God. And we see that laid out in Scripture.
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind if I segue there.
Yeah, the fact that we're created.
That's okay.
Is that we'll allow it. Yeah.
we're created in His image. We have value because we're His image bearers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the kind of strategy of our culture seems to be, I don't have to be right. I just have to be loud.
And oh man!
And maybe what we need to do is pause long enough to be critical thinkers about the source of that. And you know, Alex, you're dead on with. We need to recognize at the very beginning we're created by God and we are beloved of Him, and so that's got to be at least the beginning or part of the foundation of the understanding of who we are and where my identity is. I'm not just this random thing that, you know, there's intrinsic value in us.
Yeah. It's the classic phrase. It's not who you are. It's whose you are. Our Heavenly Father, He made us, all of us as dads. We see so much infinite value in our kids. And a lot of that too is like, it's not based on the things that they have done. Alex, you're talking about the guy in the detention center. Like, you didn't want him to define himself by his failures, by those things.
Right.
It's where are you going in your life? So instead of looking back and saying, well, I'm a failure, well, I've done these things that must define me, instead it's, okay, but where is God taking you now? Yeah. Where are you going now? Because that will completely change your mindset and that whole outlook. But it starts with believing the truth that God created you and He has a plan and a purpose for you and to find value in that. Once you are solid in that, then you're able to take those steps towards a better future and to see where God wants you to go.
Yeah. Steve, I think you've said this before And if you didn't, I'm just going to attribute this to
sure,
you.
I'm getting credit for something. I don't know what it is.
Hopefully it's good.
Yeah. And maybe this is an original you. But haven't you said before that something's worth is determined on how much somebody is willing to pay for it?
Well, yeah, that's just a business principle, right? Sure. How much is this worth? Whatever someone's willing to pay for it. Yep.
But like, I mean, think about that in terms of our worth, value, where our identity comes from, that we have a God who said to each one of us individually that you are worth my life. You are worth me dying on a cross for you. And I think back to times in my life where I've struggled with identity and worth. And that has always been such a realigning and sobering thought to go, for me to go, I'm not worthy of your love, God, because of whatever, because I'm not successful enough or don't look like this person or I've failed too many times. Man, what does that say about God if I'm saying that, right? It's like, no, but he says, and that's, again, I think those are those times where we really have to align what we think to be true with, well, what does God say about me?
Right.
Yeah.
And you said it well, you know, he gave his life for us. I want to draw that lens back a little bit.
Sure.
You know, some people might look at, well, Jesus was on earth. Of course he had to die somehow. He just made the best out of it. Mm. But in Jesus coming to earth to begin with, not only did he pay the price of his life, but he paid the price of leaving the throne in heaven behind to live in this fallen, broken world. He wasn't just his life that it cost him. It cost him that position, that throne in heaven. And so, yeah, man, what great value you have as an individual understanding what God was willing to expend for you.
Yeah. I think if we think about all of the things that we choose to identify ourselves with, find our value worth in, whether it's our job, whether it's, you know, things that we're good at, things that are our appearance, all of those things, what I find is as we begin to sort of follow those roads, they always end up leaving us empty at the end, right? It never truly is able to capture that hole that we all have in our heart, which is, again, what we would probably argue today is the only person that can fill that is a relationship with God.
Yeah. And how we understand ourselves, who am I? I mean, I'll be honest. I have in my life not always liked labels or being pigeonholed or something. So like, oh, you do this. Like, well, yeah, I guess, but not really. And so I think, you know, other people may just struggle to figure out, how do I understand myself? How do I define myself? Yeah. And some of that is good, that we always want to be open to how we are developing as a person and not feel like, oh, I'm just, here's my label. That's just who I am from here on in. But understanding that as I grow and as I develop, as I mature, and what are the influences of those processes in my life, right? Is it culture and just whatever the media screams at me, or is it something, you know, more intentional and personal, like what is God doing in my life? And I think that's certainly something we would encourage you to consider, because Scripture does tell us that that's part of why we're here, right? We're here for that relationship. We're here for God to do some really awesome things in our lives and then through our lives. So that's part of the why, not just the who we are, but why we're here as well. So it's really important. And it's I think it's something that all of us at different times and probably multiple times in our lives, we ponder those questions, whether we're a 15-year-old or a 35-year-old or a 85-year-old.
It's actually in the biblical times, the number 40 was kind of the number of completion. And they also saw that as the, like for your age, the first 40 years was kind of like stage one, which is crazy to think of now. And then the next 40 was stage two.
Hey, I'm in stage two.
There you go. And then the next 40, the verse about don't let them look down on you because of your youth was to a guy in his 30s. So there's always more potential in you. God has more for you. And Yeah, we've touched on it a lot, but don't, if you're whatever age you are, if you're asking the question, who am I? You're not alone. But know that God loves you and lean into that. Because nothing else matters really aside from that. And then once you have that.
Yeah. And, you know, confident. Brian, it's interesting because we can look at lots of examples, both modern day examples and biblical examples, where when people really leaned into a relationship with God, that things got redefined a little bit, right? We can look at some of the names in the Bible of you know, the classic would be like a Saul to a Paul, or, you know, some that once they got serious about their spiritual side, the spiritual lives, their faith and where that was, there was a realignment, a redefining of who they were as people. And that's not something that only happened then. It happens now as well.
Yeah.
And you might be in a season where, so you've been asking these questions, and maybe it's just that step of taking a step of faith towards God that will help you understand in a more complete way the answers to those questions for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one else can define it. Only God can. No one else can define you. Only God can.
Yeah.
So that's our encouragement. You can find help in other believers. You can find help in loving parents and loving friends. But you really, it always goes back to God. So lean into him and he'll help you.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, guys, as we wrap up today, just some practical takeaways for that person that's maybe at a crossroads moment where they're going, man, who am I in this season of my life? I've been a mom, I've been a dad for 18 years and now they're all leaving the nest, or I'm a high school student and I'm getting ready to step, like who am I? Can we just speak to that listener as we close up today?
Yeah, I would, one of the things that's going through my mind is don't just listen to the loudest, easiest voices to listen to. And lean into those who have demonstrated that they really do care, love you, and are invested in you. And of course, God would be at the top of that list. And don't be afraid to understand that when we do that, there may be some redefining dynamics in our lives, and we really understand ourselves a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, when you shed light on something, you tend to understand it a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And so there might be aspects of who you are as a person that you never even knew existed before you allowed God's light to shine into your life that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would just say, I think two things for me that have been really helpful is one, I think you've said it before, Steve, but don't do things because that's who you are, but because of who you are. Everything else flows from that, knowing who you are, not defining yourself by what you do, but letting what you do be defined by who you know you are. And where that flows from is knowing your father. Like, there's nothing that's going to come close to truly finding your identity and having a secure footing in that than knowing God. So get to know him, get in scripture, read about, this God who loves you like a father to a son or a daughter. Like Steve said, talk to people that you know love you, that can maybe encourage you in that as well. I think it's just so helpful.
Yeah. Mine is just stop comparing. Stop comparing yourself to anyone else. Everyone's walk is different, and I'm sure you know that, but it gets too easy to see someone being successful and saying, oh, I wish I was them, and seeing someone who failed and say, well, I'm glad I'm not them.
Especially when
you're not them.
Especially when what we see is only part of the picture.
Exactly.
Always. It's only part of the picture.
Correct. Yeah. We've all failed. We've all had successes. And so, it's not anything else except just between you and God. But yeah, so hopefully we really drive that nail in real far. Talk to God and talk to him some more and some more. The Bible tells us that it's like you're knocking on your neighbor's door in the middle of the night. Just keep knocking and he'll answer. So that's our encouragement for you. But again, if you have any questions, if you have any topic ideas for us.